Imagine you're a government, right? And you're trying to rebuild an entire nation's economy. But your only real tool is the taxpayer's checkbook. Today's deep dives is all about that. We're looking at a 2011 South African procurement guide that, well, it basically turned mundane administrative spreadsheets into this massive weapon for social equity. Okay, let's unpack this. How exactly does a country balance the, absolute need to get the cheapest price for taxpayers while actively promoting local industries and correcting historical imbalances?
Right, so they engineered that balance through rigorous mathematics. To evaluate government bids, they created this incredibly strict numerical scoring system. If a contract is valued under 1 million rand, they use an 80-20 split. And if it's over 1 million rand, it shifts to 90-10.
Wait, I am stuck on this 80-20 split already. If, 20% of the decision is based on social equity instead of just price, doesn't that mean the government is actively choosing to overpay for services? How do they justify that to the taxpayer?
What's fascinating here is exactly how the math justifies it. By locking in 80 or 90% of the score entirely on who offers the lowest price, the formula guarantees that the taxpayer's money is heavily protected, right? Price remains the dominant, unyielding factor.
Okay, so the bulk of it is still just pure cost.
Exactly. But that remaining 20 or 10%, that is determined by a company's BEBBE status level, which stands for Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment.
Right, and we should probably clarify what that actually measures for you listening.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a simple box you check for who owns the company, right?
No, not at all. It measures a whole spectrum of corporate behavior. It looks at the diversity of the management team, how much a company spends on skills development for disadvantaged workers, and even their own internal procurement practices.
Wow, so it goes pretty deep.
It really does. The better you do across all those metrics, the closer you get to a coveted level one status on a 1 to 8 scale.
I get it. So it's kind of like a college application. The GPA gets you in the door, meaning you have to offer a competitive price. But your extracurriculars, your BBBE status, can ultimately win you the contract if the prices are, really close.
That is a great way to look at it. And even if a company has zero BEBE credentials, they aren't actually disqualified. They just score a zero for that specific section.
Which means they'd have to offer a staggeringly low price to beat out a compliant competitor, I'm guessing.
Precisely. It gives social transformation this quantifiable, highly competitive advantage in the open market.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because earning points on a spreadsheet is one thing. But what stops a company with, a brilliant level one score from winning the bid and then immediately outsourcing all the actual labor to a cheap, completely non-compliant company?
Well, the Treasury anticipated that exact loophole, thankfully. They created the 25% rule. A contractor simply cannot subcontract more than 25% of the total contract value to another enterprise that has a lower BBBE status than they do.
Right, so it's like hiring a master chef because they have a Michelin star, but then finding out they just ordered takeout from down the street and plated in your kitchen.
Right, yes, exactly. The 25% rule forces the chef to actually cook 75% of the meal themselves.
Unless, of course, they subcontract to an exempted microenterprise.
Yes, good point. They exempt businesses under a certain revenue threshold because those tiny operations just don't have the administrative resources to meet complex compliance yet. They simply need the work to grow.
Which makes total sense. But what about imported goods, like keeping the money inside the country?
Yeah, so to further protect local manufacturing, the guide mandates strict formulas for local content in designated sectors. They even lock in specific South African Reserve Bank exchange rates from exactly 7 days before the bid closes.
Wow, 7 days exactly. That is super specific.
It is. It rigorously verifies imported versus local costs, making it mathematically impossible to hide outsourced foreign materials in the bid.
Okay, but math formulas are really only as good as the honesty of the people plugging in the numbers, right? If someone creates a shell company to fake a level one score just to secure a massive government contract, how does the government actually catch and punish them?
They enforce it through absolutely devastating financial consequences. If a company is caught lying about their status, the state doesn't just cancel the contract and walk away.
They don't.
No. They use a mechanism where they calculate the exact financial difference between the fraudster's original bid and the cost of the new contractor they have to hire to replace them.
Oh, wow. So the fraudster is legally forced to pay that difference out of pocket.
Yes. it bankrupts bad actors.
Yeah.
And on top of the financial ruin and forwarding the matter for criminal prosecution, the state can formally restrict the company.
And its directors, too. Right.
Exactly, the directors as well. They are banned from doing any business with the government for up to 10 years. It is a comprehensive mechanism to ensure the math translates into real-world equity rather than just enriching scammers.
So what does this all mean? For you listening, it's a reminder that what often looks like dense, boring, bureaucratic red tape is actually a highly calculated engine for structural transformation.
It is literal social engineering by way of spreadsheets and procurement rules.
Which leaves you with this to think about. If South Africa uses the math in its purchasing guidelines to engineer historical and racial equity, could other nations start using these exact same mathematical formulas to enforce entirely different goals? Like, say, making mandatory carbon zero manufacturing a prerequisite to ever winning a government contract,